Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard. The Inside Analog Photo radio program is all about the traditional photographic process. We talk about all aspects of analog photography, including the hybrid workflow. You can find out more information over at www.insideanalogphoto.com. And of course, Inside Analog Photo is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. These guys have the coolest instant photography materials known to mankind. They have, of course, the pack film in 3.25 by 4.25 and 4x5, color and black and white. They have the Instax systems in the wide format, the Instax 210 camera and film, and of course the Instax Mini in the Instax Mini 7 and the Instax Mini 25, both in color film. Beautiful stuff. There's nothing cooler than instant photography. You get a print, because if you don't have a print, you don't have a real photograph. This is great fun stuff. This is great for art. This is great for business. This is cool stuff. You definitely want to check them out over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends over at Photo Publicist, providing worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development for the photographer, turning photographers into celebrities. You can find out more information over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the highest quality work known to mankind anywhere on this planet. Unbelievable developing, scanning, and of course, output on high quality Fuji Crystal Archive. Unbelievable cool stuff these guys are up to. And remember, you don't have a photograph unless you have a print in your hand, and you need to print your pictures. This is important. You need to supply proofs to your customers and even print your own work, because it's not about looking at it on a monitor. It's about holding a print in your hand. Definitely check these guys out at Richard Photo Lab, of course, at richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5. DR5 Chrome Black and White Developing, that turns your black and white neg into, that's right, black and white chrome. Unbelievable stuff. www.dr5.com. Our friends over at Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com for the camera strap that will not slip off your shoulder, guaranteed bar none, the coolest strap around. Our friends at Iger Studios for the finest quality drum scans known to mankind, igerstudios.com. Our official media partner, APUG, the Analog Photography User Group, for all things traditional photographic process on the web, www.apug.org. And our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, over at www.eastmanhouse.org. Today on the Inside Analog Photo radio program, we're going to have with us Polly Chandler. Polly is a fine art photographer, does beautiful work, black and white, color, lots of Polaroid work, beautiful photography by Polly. It's going to be a great interview. Polly, how you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photography. Great to have you on the program today to feature yourself and your beautiful photography. This is great stuff you're doing, Polly.
Thank you so much. I'm flattered.
So, Polly, tell us, you're a photographer. You're based out of Austin, Texas. You're doing lots of cool photography. Tell me about yourself.
Yeah. I am originally from Illinois, where I grew up, where my mom lives, and I got a bachelor's degree in graphic design and fine art, moved to St. Louis for a little while and kind of tried to work in graphic design and realized that I wasn't very crazy about it. My last semester of undergraduate school, I took photo for design majors, and of course, it was the last semester of my undergraduate career and realized I was in love with photography. So a few years went by, and I was living in St. Louis, and I decided to move back home to Carbondale, which is where Southern Illinois University is, and kind of see if I wanted to go into graduate school for printmaking or something else. And what happened was I took a basic black and white course with one of my favorite instructors, Dave Gilmore, and that's when it was clear to me that photography was my passion. And I couldn't get enough of it. I breathed it. I just loved it. I couldn't stop making photos. What's cool about Southern Illinois University and the graduate program there is that you don't necessarily have to have an undergraduate degree in photography to be accepted into their program. So I spent the first year as a non-declared grad and sort of proved to the faculty and the people that would be letting me in that I was really serious and a really hard worker and that I had potential. And then after that first year, they let me in. So I got my master's degree in fine art photography from Southern Illinois University.
Now, you had no photography experience prior. You didn't do this when you were a kid. You didn't take pictures. Tell me about being bummed out about doing graphic design.
Like I said, my last semester in graphic design, I took photo for design majors. It was a required course, and I had put it off for some reason for my last semester, and the irony is that that's probably what I would have majored in if I'd realized how much I loved it. So I graduated and moved to St. Louis, and I dabbled in it. I paid the fees at a local community college to work in their dark rooms. So I would go out and make pictures with my 35mm camera and film and go into the darkroom and develop and print. But it wasn't anything formal, no classes or anything. And like I said, when I moved back home, I thought I might apply to the graduate program in printmaking, which maybe I would do etching or silk screening. But I just couldn't stay away from the photo lab. So no, as a child, I didn't really do photography. It wasn't until I was in my late 20s that I realized I love it. So luckily enough, they let me in. And then in the graduate program is where I was introduced to large format. And I have to say, out of all the equipment, all the cameras I've ever used, the large format 4x5 camera is my true love. It's what excites me the most. It gets my juices going. I crave shooting it when I don't do it for a while. So there's just no other feeling for me other than the 4x5. Don't get me wrong, I like medium format. I like all sorts of different cameras, but the 4x5 is the one for me.
So let's talk about what you're shooting. How would you explain your style of photography?
Obviously, it evolved through graduate school, but right now I would describe it as definitely autobiographical, very sort of introspective. I've had a lot of people sort of say, oh, I like your portraits, and I can understand why they might think that I do portraiture, but really every subject in each photograph is meant to represent me. So it's like I sort of ask people to pose for me, but they're standing in as myself or experiences I've gone through or a narrative I'm making about something I'm thinking about in my life. So my work, for lack of a better term, I'll often call them emotional narratives. Recently, over the last year, I have been doing a series. I have about 15 of them done where I'll take a Tom Waits song and listen to it and maybe take one line or just what the song means to me, and then I'll make a photograph about the song. So that's my latest project. But I still continue to make photographs as part of the emotional narrative project too. So those are my two main big projects, I guess, or my continuing series.
No, the stuff's great. Let's chat, Polly, about you've had a large body of work published and you've had great success here with getting your work out to the public. Hello, expositions, published work, yeah. A lot of stuff. So tell me about your whole process here. The work's stunning, so there's definitely the big reason I think that there's so much publication and people wanted to see these expositions is because the work is just very unique. But tell me your process here. You must spend a lot of time putting your work out and sending things out to get stuff moving here.
Definitely. As a fine art, quote-unquote, photographer, you really have to sort of be good at marketing yourself. And for a few years, I was very diligent about entering exhibits and publications. And then the more exposure you get, then some things start to come your way without even you pursuing it yourself. But I would say for as many things as I've been accepted into or published or had exhibits, I've had just as many rejections. So you sort of have to learn to develop a thick skin and just don't give up, keep working. I mean, there's something, I think, inherent in human nature where we want to make this art or this work and share it with other people and get maybe your peers' perspective, or you want your peers to appreciate your work. There's just something inherent. I think it's natural. So I think I was pretty good at marketing my work for a while. I sort of slowed down on that because I started to feel like I needed to get back to just making it because I love it. So I would say for the last 6 months, 8 months, I haven't really been marketing myself or getting my work out there as much. I haven't been entering juried exhibitions or many publications as much, but I'm sure I will return to it. It was just a nice little break to remind myself how much I just love to make photographs. And that Tom Waits series is a good example because I really only submitted it to a couple of things, and it was in a Silver Shots recently, which was wonderful. But I have a feeling the more I work on that, the more I'll sort of submit that and see where it goes.
Polly, tell me about your love of the 4x5. Why do you like this better than the other formats?
Now, I'm not anti-digital. I appreciate it as a tool. But there's just something for me personally, as far as like honing my craft, where as you move up in format from 35mm to maybe a medium format up to 4x5, there is a level of difficulty. And 4x5, for me, there's quite a few reasons I love it. It's really challenging mentally. Everything is upside down and backwards when you're composing. I shoot Polaroid Type 55 film, which is no longer in production. And right when I found out that that was about to happen, I went into debt and bought all the film I could. So in my refrigerator, there's some sparkling water and some cheese. And then it's just tons of Polaroid Type 55, which is an instant positive negative film. But for me, 4x5 slows me down. I have a monorail camera. It's huge equipment. It's cumbersome. It's hard to carry around. You set it all up. It's not like you can take your 35mm and just sort of see what angle looks good. I mean, you've got to pick up this heavy piece of equipment and move it around. So it slows my mind down and makes me really pay attention to sort of every ingredient that's going to go into my image. And then the film is so expensive that that's another sort of incentive for me to just slow down, not shoot from the hip, but really think about what I'm doing. I also love it because it's a simple camera. Your f-stops, your shutter speed, and it's basically Benson Bellows. And then you have your ground glass, so it's not a complex camera in that way. And I like that I have to still think about my exposure time, my f-stop. My camera is not thinking for me at all. Also, like, a part of slowing down is that you really need to pay attention to every single edge of your frame. And then because it's upside down and backwards, it's just another element of, I think, challenging you mentally. And then when you're shooting your 4x5 and you have your subject, it's another challenge to make it look as if that moment wasn't staged, even though it's completely staged, because once you have your focus right and everything looks good, you've got to close down your shutter, put the film in the back of the camera, make sure the person hasn't moved, and then take the picture. So it's just really challenging, and that's part of what I love. And I think because there's so many variables when I'm shooting, it never ceases to surprise me. And I love that. Sometimes I imagine what it's going to look like in my head, and then when I pull my film apart, I'm like, cool, did something completely unexpected.
Have you used other 4x5s other than the monorail? And does a monorail give you some kind of specific adjustability that you like, or let's say a field camera or something else?
Yeah, you have a little more movement. Obviously, I tilt and I shift. I use the movements of the 4x5, and because when you're using a monorail camera, you have more options. A little field camera is obviously easier to carry around, but you just don't get as much movement with the bellows. I remember when I was in my 4x5 class, it was an introductory class to a large format, my instructor was talking about how a lot of times this camera is used for architectural work and to correct for like keystoning, to correct perspective. Then I started to think, how can I really manipulate the perspective to represent my memories or my experiences or what I'm feeling right now? And so that's when I started really pushing the movements of the camera to represent more of a ethereal or dreamlike state, if that makes sense.
No, they're definitely euphoric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
It is very cool. It's great. Let's talk about glass. What do you like to shoot with? Do you have one lens? Do you have different ones? What do you like to shoot with?
Yeah, I have three lenses. I have a 150, which is the one I shoot most with. I have a wide angle. I have a 90. And then I have a longer lens, a 210. And I primarily use the 150. I think I'm just more comfortable with it. I had it the longest. And then I'll use the wide angle a lot, too. The 210, not so much yet, but I have a feeling I'll start getting into that a little bit more. The wide angle tends to distort on the edges. So I have to be very careful when I'm using a figure. It kind of starts to look a little odd on the edges, but it's good for different scenarios at times. So, yeah, I have three lenses.
So, let's get into a very important topic here about Polaroid 55 and I think instant film in general. There's something about instant photography. When you pull it apart, it's magical. I mean, I don't even know how to explain it, but I'm a complete instant film junkie myself.
Okay, then you get it. I mean, sometimes I start shaking. I get so excited. There is something magical about it.
It's quite cool. Now, you're still shooting 55. Are you starting to play with the Fuji stuff? Tell me what you're doing with your instant photography.
Like I said, I really stocked up on 55. I mean, it's my medium of choice. It's like asking a painter which paint they prefer. And when they discontinued all production of Polaroid film, I mean, I was heartbroken. It was like taking an artist's medium away from them. supply and demand. I understand it. But don't know that Polaroid, the corporation, realized the effect it would have in the art community. For me, 55 is extremely finicky, but I've been using it for so long. It's like I totally know what it's going to do in the heat and what it's going to do in the cold, but it still surprises me sometimes. Mostly, I love the fine grain and the tonality. I shoot it at 25 ISO. I rate it at 25 even though it's 50.
Right.
I mean, I haven't yet found a film that you can blow it up and it's just gorgeous. Fine grain, beautiful tones. And sometimes I can underexpose it and I get these gorgeous tonality in it. I shoot full frame on purpose. When I print or post my pictures, I include that funky border where the negative and the positive and the chemical packet are all held together because a couple of reasons. I think it's really neat how every time you pull it, it's a little bit different. So it's like that weird little border is unique to each photograph you make. I guess I'm speaking to other photographers or people who know that I am composing and constructing in the field in that moment. I don't crop. I don't do anything to manipulate it at all later. I dodge and burn a little as I would do in a dark room. But other than that, I mean, all the work I put into it is straight in the field, in the camera, with me and my subject. So all of that for me is important because it's just, like I said earlier, it's honing my craft. And for me, that's important.
So were you able to grab enough 55 that's keeping you still moving forward? How do you figure what you're going to shoot, or did you get a lot of it?
Oh, I got a lot of it.
Yeah?
I mean, like I said, I have a full-size refrigerator, and I try to figure out where I'm going to put the creamer sometimes. So I'm doing okay now. I mean, I have that question a lot. People are saying, you know, what are you going to do when it's gone? I'll be really sad, but I'll adapt. I'll look into the Fuji, or maybe I'll just start shooting Ilford sheet film. I will adapt. That Impossible Project, have you heard of that?
I have, yes.
Oh, yes. That's giving me a little bit of hope, although I'm trying not to get my hopes up too much. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people that love Polaroid.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and specifically 55, so I'm sort of keeping my fingers crossed that someone will bring a form of it back. But right now I'm doing all right, I got plenty.
Now, the 55, do you like it so much because of the tonality, the way it looks, or because it has a negative as well?
Initially, that's why, because it has a negative. Probably all of the above, and I've been using it for, gosh, like 7 years now, so it's like an old friend. Does that sound weird?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I know what it's going to do. I don't even have to meter anymore.
Really?
I mean, yeah, no, I know it's going to do in sunlight. I know it's going to do in shade. It's so familiar to me that it's no longer like I have to figure out technically what I'm doing with the film. It's just all sort of organic when I'm working, which to me makes the whole process a little more fun and less stressful.
Well, definitely. I mean, if you don't have to meter and worry about it, I mean, you're so used to
totally.
The emulsion that you don't have to carry a meter and you can just roll with it. Then you can just spend time concentrating on your composition and your photograph.
Exactly. And the person that I'm making the photograph of. And all of it, So
when you're doing these photographs, and these are conceptual ideas that you've come up with prior than the going to the shoot, or is this stuff sort of hit you when you're there?
Usually I'll try to have the idea prepared before I get there, but one thing that I've learned over the years, sort of used to get upset if my photograph wasn't turning out the way I had envisioned or my sketches. And one really cool thing is that I sort of let go of that. And sometimes I'll get to a location with my sitter and my props and my clothes and everything, and then it'll change a little. And I've learned to just sort of not stress out about it and realize, okay, it's just going to be something different. And I've gotten some really great shots because I didn't freak out. I just went ahead and went with what we had. So it took me a while to get there, but I think it's usually close to what I'm sketching, but sometimes I'll just have to wing it.
Do you ever have the thoughts of doing some of the stuff in color, or is it just because of the emulsion and what you're shooting, it's not color? Or do you find things that, okay, I want to compose this in color?
Actually, for a while, what I would do is shoot the scene with my 55, and then I would carry around film holders with color 4x5 in it and do both. But I found that for me, I love black and white. Now, I do shoot some color, and believe it or not, I mostly use my digital camera for that. But I just carry it around and for the moment, and honestly, I don't take it, like, seriously, if that makes sense. It's more just like fun little exercises, like stretching or something. But for me, like the 4x5 stuff, I have really kind of stopped shooting color with it. I think the black and white just lends itself to my projects because I'm really not interested in reality. I mean, we see in color, and black and white lends itself to what I'm trying to get at, which is emotional experiences, maybe memories, maybe lessons learned. None of that's ever very clear, and that's why I think I like to blur things out a lot. I know this is kind of personal stuff, but when I'm working through something or going through maybe something painful, or I have an idea of a memory or something, none of that's ever very sharp in my head. And I mean, black and white is like right or wrong. But I just think that black and white film lends itself to a more dreamlike state, like memories.
Well, exactly. I mean, black and white is not reality.
Exactly.
Unless you have a really bad colorblind problem. And I don't know if there's anybody that sees in black and white. There might be some people.
I don't think so.
So really, it is a altered state.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. Altered state.
Trying to recreate something that came to you in a dream.
An emotional experience, usually. I mean, I'm pretty sensitive, and sometimes people like to call me moody. Sometimes I'll make a photograph, and I'm drawn to a certain location, and I'm drawn to making an image, and I'm not always sure why in that moment. And then I can look back on it 6 months or a year later and realize, wow, I was kind of going through this in my life, and this photograph makes total sense now. It relates to what was going on. So it's not always a dream. It might be just some lesson I'm learning in my life, if that makes sense.
Sure, definitely. So are you shooting any other things besides the large format for your true photography work? Of course, you have your digital stuff that's basically what is what it is.
Actually, yeah. When I go out and shoot 4x5, it's a big production because I pull the film in the field. So I have to cart around my chemistry and cart around all my equipment. So sometimes when I just feel like making like a really sort of picturesque, simple, maybe like sort of graphic image, I will shoot with my Mamiya RB67, and I still actually have some Polaroid 665. And I'll put that in a Polaroid back, and I get a 7x7 square on that 665 negative, and I actually shoot that a lot. And I have a series of called squares. And those are mostly like stuff that I see that I think will be a really nice photograph. I don't know that it's a cohesive series. You know what I mean? It's just like, I'll go out and I'll make a picture. I do that a lot, actually. I have a whole section of squares made on 665. So I would say that was the other camera and film I used the most.
Wow, very cool. Arby's a great camera.
Yeah. I know, it's like a tank.
Yeah. Especially when you throw instant back on it. It gets a little
chunky, I know.
It is quite cool, though. Yes.
It is. It is.
Now, of course, you had previously been submitting tons of great work to galleries and publications and doing all this cool stuff. What's the final output of your work? I mean, you scan stuff, it goes online, but what's your thing looking forward here on what do you do with your work? Do you make prints from it? Do you sell the stuff? I mean, what do you do with it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've made about 15 images in the Tom Waits series. And then that sort of led me to start thinking about, okay, well, what are you doing with this series? And I guess what I'm going to try to do is sort of self-publish a book. I mean, I think I might go to Blurb or something like that and just see if I can put together a really nice book with the Tom Waits series in it. And then I think I might start to try to submit that to galleries and try to get some feedback back. Like I said, I sort of jumped off the grid as far as being so concerned about being published or getting in galleries for like the past 8 months, but I've made a lot of work, so I think I just sort of needed to do that to get back to shooting just for the love of it. And like you said, I do scan them in and I'll post them on Facebook or on my website, but it's just been over the last, I'd say, few weeks that I've decided to maybe try to show my new work to galleries or publications, because it is a lot different than my first emotional narrative series. I've really pulled back from the figure. I'm almost letting the location and the environment be the subject, and then the person standing in for me be maybe secondary to the mood and the environment. But it depends on the song. And actually, I have a couple of images. I did Blue Valentine and The Ocean Doesn't Want Me Today, and a couple other ones where I don't even have a person in it. So I'm sort of trying to push myself and challenge myself to stop making the same picture, or to push away from that first series I was working on.
Exactly. And do you figure that you'd like to go after these series as in you're going to pick one band and then cover a bunch of songs with a photograph?
No, right now it's just Tom Waits, because art inspires art. And I mean, man, I listen to his music and it touches me in the way that I feel like art is meant to. It makes me feel, I connect to it. And that's why I pick his music. I mean, I remember just going on a walk one day, and I was just like sort of, I guess I could call it obsessed with his music. I would listen to his music, and I would get goosebumps, and I was just like, oh my gosh, she's saying things in a way I would have never thought to say it, but I have totally felt that way. And I thought, if I can make an image connecting to his music or a line in his song that expresses my interpretation of his music, that just excited me. So that's why I picked him. I'm so inspired. And I hadn't really thought about other musicians. So I guess I was thinking of it more as art inspires art. I mean, I admire him and the way he can say things in a way that is so poignant. It's like drawing a smiley face or saying it just beautifully different and not being so blatant. Does that make sense?
Yep, exactly. Kinda,
but I was trying not to overthink it. Just kind of letting myself go with his music because, I mean, I just was sketching and sketching and sketching. So I was just trying to let myself do it without overthinking it.
What do you look forward to, Polly, moving forward? Any kinds of new work, any kind of travel stuff? What do you look forward to doing that you haven't got to do yet?
That's a good question. Probably won't be traveling much. I'm pretty broke from all that 55 I bought.
Yeah, I bet.
I think I just look forward to the fact that I still am in love with photography. I mean, it makes me feel like nothing I've ever felt in my life before. So I think I just look forward to continuing the Tom Waits series, continuing to challenge myself, not getting kind of stuck in a formula. I don't know what'll come after that. I'm trying not to worry about it and just let it happen.
This is great work you're doing. Polly, let's chat about where people would find your work, your website. Are you blogging? Are you on Facebook? Where can they find all this beautiful work you're doing?
Yeah, my website, and it's at www.pollychandler.com. And I also have a Facebook page. I have a personal one and a fan page. And then I post some work on Flickr. And what I'll do is I'll pick the one image that I think is most successful. Maybe I'll post one or two others and try to get feedback. So maybe from one shoot, I'll post three images that I did. So Flickr is one place you might be able to see like outtakes. Other than that, right now, I'm starting to think about looking for representation with galleries. But other than that, those are the three places you could probably find my work.
No, this is beautiful photography. I really appreciate you spending some time today to chat about yourself, your great work, the use of the incredible Polaroid material, and your love for analog photography and instant film, which is really cool.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Well, there you go. Polly Chandler, what a great gal. Beautiful photography, large format, black and white, Polaroid. There's even some color work. Just a lot of great stuff and a great inspiration. Definitely check out Polly's website over at www.pollychandler.com. The Inside Analog Photo Radio Program has been brought to you by Fujifilm for their full line of instant cameras and film, and of course, fine quality Fuji Crystal Archive paper over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional. Our friends at Photo Publicist, worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the finest quality lab in the country, richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5 for black and white chrome at dr5.com. Upstrap for the finest quality camera strap that will not slide off your shoulder at upstrap-pro.com. Our friends over at Iger Studios at igerstudios.com. And of course, our media partners of the Analog Photography User Group at apug.org and our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House, over at eastmanhouse.org. I've been your host, Scott Shippard, here on Inside Analog Photo. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.